God apply to us all the time, right? They really do. So I'll turn, if you will, in your Bible to Matthew. We're going to look at chapter 1 and some in chapter 2. So if you'll turn to the book of Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, because I'll be referring to a number of references in those chapters. Familiar scriptures to us, but I want to think about it and celebrating the joy of fatherhood. It's a privilege to be a father and to have our fathers that God gave us. I rejoice the Lord, thank the Lord for those of us who have, all of us, we celebrate our fathers today. Some of us had the privilege of having fathers that were really a blessing and a delight. Sometimes individuals had fathers who were not there or who were not what we'd like them to be, but they're still our father, and we still need to honor them, I think, and say thank you, Lord, for them, even though there are things that might have been that were not what we would like to have been. But we come today because we have a father who is above all fathers, and we'll talk about him as we go. So what I'm suggesting is that there's a joy in fatherhood on God's part and on our part in our world today and as we celebrate our fathers. So these passages are familiar probably, and I might have even thought about them last year. I don't remember. You probably don't either. What I did a year ago. But let's look at these passages in the life of Joseph and Mary in particular. We celebrate Mary a lot, but we ought to celebrate Joseph. He's a man of faith too, and God used him. So I want to think about that in this scripture passage in today. So, the first thing on your outline, if you've got it out now, celebrate the joy of a father who hears God. A father who hears God. Now, in order to hear God, you got to know God. You got to begin with the Spirit of the Lord calling us and then asking Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. Because that's where we start. In chapter 1 of Matthew, down in verse 18 through 20, we find this account. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child which is born in her, conceived in her, is of the Holy Spirit. And then over in chapter 2, verse 13, it says, Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. Then in verse 19 of chapter 2, But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, Get up, take his child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And then down in verse 20, I just read that one. So in these cases, Joseph is hearing God. God, he's in a position, in a relationship, so he can hear God. I want to suggest to you that if you can hear God, that's a joy. And fathers who can listen for God's direction and God's care and know that God's talking and receive it is a delight and a special privilege. Think about it. Men, how many of you would listen and God tell you, now the woman you're going to marry is going to have a baby and it's not yours, but it's all right because God gave put that baby in your body. And how many of you would believe that? Now, we believe it because we read it in Scripture. But can you imagine being in Joseph's shoes without the Bible, without any... Now, we have all this background. Joseph had to be a man who could hear and know God was talking to him. Because otherwise, he'd said, well, I eat something and I just got indigestion. I think I'm hearing something. What do you think about it? Now, I try to put myself in his place. And Joseph was a man who knew enough about God, somehow had a relationship with God. The Bible doesn't tell us, but he hear God saying to him through in a dream, it's okay. And then the angels could come and tell him what to do, and he'd understand this is God talking. I pray that we will have many, many fathers who have the joy, who can hear God, know that God's talking, know that God's giving direction to their life, and they have a relationship with God through Jesus that they know it's God. So we celebrate the joy of fathers who hear God. Not only is it a joy for the father to hear God, but it's a joy for the others who hear God through them. In other words, to have a father who understands God, who hears God, is a blessing to those who he touches, his life touches. So I suggest that all of us want the joy of being able to hear God and to know that it's him. There was a father one day sitting listening to his young son with two other of his friends, and they were sort of bragging about their dads. So one of the boys said, you know what? My dad knows the mayor. Well, the next little boy on the come up and said, well, my dad knows the governor. Well, the father was sitting there listening to what his son was going to say because, you know, one was up and the rest of them. He's listening to what his son was going to say. He said, well, my dad knows God. Folks, I hope that we live as men that our families and our people around us can say, my dad hears God. My dad knows God. I think there's no greater honor than knowing that people can say about us, whether we're dads or not, that this person knows God, walks with God, hears God. And Joseph demonstrated that. The second area, celebrate the joy of a father who obeys God. Not only hears God, but obeys God. Again, in chapter 1 of Matthew, down in verse 24, and Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. He heard God, and in the other occasions that I read, when he understood what God was saying, what did he do? He did it. When did he do it? As soon as he heard. Do you and I ever have problems thinking we hear and waiting around and say, well, maybe God's talking? Or, well, one of these days I'll get around to whatever it is. What I rejoice about Joseph was that's a father who heard and he obeyed. He took action. Because when he understood that God was talking, he heard him and understood this, what God wanted him to do. The Bible says he got up from his sleep, out of the dream. He did as the angel said, took Mary as his wife, kept her a virgin until Jesus was born. So the joy of a man, of a father who obeys God, and as far as that goes, others as well, hearing from God. It's not only a joy for the individual who hears. Isn't it good to know you've done what God said? Don't you like it? Did you look through your life and say, oh, I understood what God wanted me to do, and I did it. There's a real joy in that. And then, of course, there's a real heaviness when we realize we didn't do it. But when you obey God, others are blessed as well. Because when you as men give leadership, Christian leadership to God, and your family, in the church, and in the community, when you stand for God, you not only are blessed, but the people who are with you are blessed. You realize your obedience isn't just for me. It extends to the people around me whose lives, my life, and your life touches. And so I celebrate the joy who obeys God. And the joy of the outcome. I like what happens when we obey God. I like the outcome when we do what God says as far as we understand it and take steps in that direction. Now, did Joseph know what the outcome was going to be of what he just did? Did he understand the outcome? I don't think he did. God says, do it. He did it. I'm thinking that Joseph probably knew that he probably was not going to be too popular with some people for doing what he was doing. None of this is in Scripture, okay? Just my imagination. But understanding what I think happened in that culture in that day, for a woman to have a baby and not be married was a whole lot worse in the culture than it is in our world today. In fact, you're well aware that it could be that she would be stoned to death. And Joseph was taking this woman to be his wife. But he obeyed in spite of all the possibilities that might come to him in criticism and misunderstanding. He said, God said, do it. I'm going to do it. I want us to be people. So I'm going to obey God. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what the culture says. I don't care what my neighbors say. I don't care what the governor says. I don't care what anybody says. When God says it, I'm going to do it and trust God for a good outcome in the midst of that. Joseph trusted God, and we know the outcome. Hallelujah for the outcome. But we celebrate a father, the joy of a father who's obeyed God, and other people are blessed to it. The next area is celebrate the joy of a father who protects. Joy who protects. Joseph was a man who cared and loved and cared for his family. Now, don't you notice these verses? I already mentioned some of them. In chapter 2 down to verse 13, when I read to you, now when they had gone, the wise men, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and said, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother while it was still night, and left for Egypt. And then in verse 22, he does the same thing. When he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned by God in a dream, he left for the regions of Galilee and came and lived in a city named Nazareth. Now, why did he do that? To take care of his family, particularly to take care of his son. Because I don't know how much Joseph understood what he was a part of, but he had been told that this was to fulfill the plan of God. And he was working in that. I'll talk more about it in a moment. But he was taking care of his son. Again, he heard God. He acted. And notice what he said. When did he get up and leave? In the middle of the night, as soon as he understood that his family was in danger, that his son in particular was in danger. Joseph knew who Jesus was. He knew that he wasn't his biological son, but he was, as far as he was concerned, he was his son. By the way, thank the Lord for fathers who adopt kids and raise kids and foster kids. As far as they're concerned, they're still their kids. I was reading, recently in a book, and he was talking about, people said, well, this, talking about that child. He said, that's my son too. He said, as far as I'm concerned, they had adopted a child from another country. But he said, this is my child. It's my son as much as my biological son. And Joseph knew that. And he protected him. He wanted to take care of him. Now, when I talk about protecting his son and his family, not only is there physical protection, but is there a need for spiritual protection? Is there a need for men to stand up and say, these things are right and these things are not right? We need to protect our families from stuff that's going to hinder them. Our kids, my kids are all grown and they've got grandkids, great-grandkids, but there was a time when our kids, I would say to them, no, you're not going to be able to do that. And you know what they did? I don't like that. I want to go. You're my laundry. In fact, our daughter would say sometimes, you're not my mom, or you're not my dad. Why did we do that? Why did we didn't let them go to certain places or to certain houses or to have certain? Because we cared about their life. We wanted to protect them from the stuff that we know would harm them. What if God does that with us? Does he ever say to us, don't do this because he wanted to protect us from the outcome of that? I think he does. And Joseph is a man who protected them. And I'm grateful that God helps us to protect our families, not only in that sense. So, you see, as a Christian, standing up for what is right and holy is important, not only because of us, but because of its influence on others. We have, I guess I'll meddle a little bit, but anyway, I'm concerned about our culture today. Our kids are growing up with stuff that they're exposed to that I would like for them to be protected from, that today we need to stand up and say, man, no, we just don't do that. One of the concerns I have is kids, in my opinion, okay, is that children no longer get to be children. They're exposed to garbage and trash and stuff that I never heard of until I was an adult. And they don't get to, what I'm saying is they don't get to be innocent kids anymore. with all the computer stuff, kids see stuff they have not ever seen. We want to protect them as best we can. I know we can't be there 100% of the time. And they're going to fuss. They're going to fuss because they don't understand why you're doing it. But let's do it anyway. So Joseph was one who protected because he cared about them. He loved them. And he did what it took. So today, parents, thank you, and the rest of us too. The next area is, which I mentioned earlier, celebrate the joy of a father who participates with God. A joy of a father who participates or works with or involved with or carries out the plan of God. Well, you notice what it says about Joseph in these occasions. In verse 15, having talked about taking Jesus and his mother to Egypt, it says in verse 15 of chapter 2, he remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, out of Egypt I call my son. Down in verse 23 of chapter 2, it says he came and lived in a city called Nazareth. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. He should be called a Nazarene. Joseph was a father who took part in what God was doing. He participated in the plan and the purpose of God. How would you like to be involved in bringing Jesus into this world? Joseph got to be a part of God's eternal plan of bringing his son into the world and bringing a Savior into the world. Joseph got to be a part of that growing up, that life, and taking care of that life. And he's a part of what God was doing. Notice those two references that I read. It says, this was done what? To fulfill what God had said was going to happen. And Joseph was a part of fulfilling the plan and the purpose of God in the life of Jesus and ultimately in our life. Aren't we a recipient of all that took place here? We are. And so I celebrate the fact of being a father who, not only do I get to be a father, but I can be a part of the plan of God. I mentioned it, I think, recently, but it's been on my mind lately. We are about something far greater than this moment, far greater than this location, far greater than this world, because God is building a kingdom through His Son Jesus that's going to last forever, and He's inviting us to participate with Him by knowing Him as Savior and then sharing Him wherever we can. We're a part of the big plan of God. We're not a part of some little drinky-dink something. We're a part of the great plan of God, and He invites us to take part with Him in what He's going to do. He's going to do it anyway, isn't he? He's going to fulfill it. But he invites us to participate by walking with him, by sharing him, by loving him, by living that out. And I thank you, Lord, for the joy of seeing God at work and being a part of what God's at work. I'm glad to know that my life is not being just for this moment or for temporary. I'm glad that my life, when I serve Christ and I'm involved with Him, it means that I'm a part of the eternal plan of God to bring the Word of God and the message of Jesus and the kingdom of God to this world and forever and forever and forever. Folks, that's a privilege. That's a joy to be a participant. Joseph got to be in on that. And I want to be on that in whatever way God allows it to be, because we as men are standing up for Jesus. Do we need more men standing up for Jesus? We need men who are saying, God, I realize I'm here not for the moment. I'm here not just for my family. I'm not here just to earn a living. I'm here to be involved in the eternal plan of God as I live for Him and share with my family. And as I share the message and I get involved, I'm a part of the eternal plan of God. Thank you, Lord. That's a joy to be that kind of father, be a participant with Him. Joy for the Lord. So I'll give Him praise for that. So as we take part with God, there was a first grade Sunday school class. The teacher asked him to draw a picture of God. Well, different ones drew different pictures. One drew a picture of a rainbow. One drew a picture of an old man coming out of the clouds. One drew a picture of what sort of looked like a Superman. But one little girl said, I don't know what God looked like, so I just drew a picture of my daddy. God help us. help us to understand we're a part of the big plan of God, and we're a part of that. On the other side of your notes, celebrate the joy of a Father who is perfect. Now, none of us as human fathers are perfect. Do you want to be? I think as men, sometimes we beat ourselves up. Or maybe it's just me. Because I'm not perfect. You look over your life as men and fathers. When you look over your life, do you see some places you wish you could go back and change? I do. One of the things I wish I could change, I can't change. I've been a pastor for umpteen years, you know. I don't know anything else. But what I wish I could change, I got so busy in the church life that sometimes I didn't spend enough time with my kids. And I regret that to this day. I would change it if I had to do over again. I would cut out some stuff and spend a little more time with my family, my kids. That's not bad. It's just not where I ought to be. You see, sometimes, but let me say something. Does God still use you in spite of your imperfections? What kind of fathers does He have? Does He have any perfect human fathers? No. He's got to use imperfect ones. And praise God, He does. So don't beat ourselves up too much over not being what we want to be, but realize this, that the Father we belong to, our Heavenly Father, is perfect. I'm glad to know today that in this Father's Day, I have a Father who loves me, who is perfect. It is awesome to me, and I hope it is for you, to know that God is my Father. He claims each one of us who know Him as His own. He says, this one is my child. This one is my child. And He's the Father that we can depend on all the time. The scripture I listed on your notes says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect. His ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is He. Thank you, Lord. His works are perfect. His ways are just. A faithful God does no wrong. He's upright and just. I'm glad to know that our Father, who we all belong to in Jesus, is that kind of Father. He is perfect. He is perfect. Because He is, what does it mean? It means I can trust Him. It means I can put my life in His hands. It means I can listen to Him because I know that everything He does is going to be done out of His perfection. God always works out of His perfection. God never has to say, oops. Well, He doesn't. Think about it, how perfect He is, how well, and we are a part of this eternal plan of God where God's working out His plan, His purpose, and we have a perfect Father. So because we have a perfect Father, we trust Him to help us be earthly fathers and do well by His grace. Not because we are perfect, but because we belong to the One who is, and we trust Him to help us, to enable us to be all we ought to be. That's true for all. Aren't you glad God didn't say, now I'm going to save you, now you got to go, now it's up to you to live it out the rest of your life. No, He said, I'm going to save you, now I'm going to help you live that out. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, a Father who's always perfect, always right. I wish I had been always right, but none of us are. But He is. Everything He does is always right. Everything He says. The last thing in your notes, celebrate a Father who connects with us. Who connects with us. At least that's what I was thinking about. What I'm thinking about is this. Let me read the scriptures and then I'll share with you. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. The other verse says, Thomas said to Him, Lord, we do not know where You're going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Me. God wanted us to know Him so badly. He wanted to be our personal Father so desperately that He sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. Now, I want to suggest that's pretty good. Desperate, caring, loving. But when you notice that what he did was he wanted to connect with us. But he knew that no one of us in our own humanity and in our own life without Jesus was worthy of connecting with him. I think we all realize that our top-notch level, whatever we think that might be for us, we were still not good enough to approach the Son of God. If we're honest, I know some people think they can earn enough and get enough good stuff, they can make it. But when you measure yourself by Jesus and by God, I think that standard kind of goes beyond anything we've got. But when I realized that God so wanted to connect with us, you and me, and he saw our imperfection and our sin, and he knew that they would never come together, my sin and God, my imperfect life. And he said, the only way that can happen is if my son dies on a cross. And my son, the perfect one, comes to live inside that individual. When that perfect one in Jesus comes to live inside this imperfect one, he says, through that I can connect with you, because through my son, you're made perfect. You're made acceptable. And I can take you into my arms. I can love you. I can care for you. Because through my perfect son, who has made you in him perfect, I'll become your father. God acted to make that happen, because that was the only way he could really be our father personally, is through his son Jesus. And the scriptures that I read said, he came and preached peace to us who are far away and who are not. Because through him, through Jesus, we have access to the Father. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. But you can come to the Father through him. You can connect with God through Jesus. That's the only way. But that's available to every one of us. So I sum today on this Father's Day to say, Father, thank you for giving your son that you wanted me to connect with you through your son and to know you and get in on your love and your care for me. That this day I can say, I have a Father who is perfect in heaven through his son Jesus, because his son lives right here in my life, in my heart. My prayer is today, if you don't know Jesus, you ask him to save you, because that's how you're going to connect with God. Nothing else you do is ever going to do it. I don't care how many Sundays you go to worship. I don't care how many weeks you read the Bible. I don't care how good a neighbor you are, how honest you are. Any of those things, when it comes to the standard of God in you, you'll never make it. But praise the Lord today. In Jesus Christ, you can come and say, Lord, I can't make it. I'm lost. I'm suffering from you. I can't change it. But you died for me, Jesus, and I'm asking you to live inside my heart and life and change me and make me able to connect with God, to clean me enough inside so that holy God can live inside this human being who is imperfect, because Jesus Christ has made me a new creation in Christ. It's wonderful, folks. So on this Father's Day, I thank you. Thank God for what he's doing in our fathers. Thank you for all the faithful men. But I hope you take these principles and say, all of us can follow these guidelines into God's Word. I'll be able to help us. You can be a good father, a good mother, whatever, through Christ. And we all can say, thank you, Jesus, for connecting me to my Father. And for this day and forever, I'm connected to my Father. And one day I'm going to go home and be with him forever and ever and ever. And a God who loved me enough to send his son. In the meantime, I want to follow him as closely as I can. I want to do as much as I can for him. Let's bow together. Celebrate the joy of fatherhood, our Heavenly Father. If you don't know Jesus, I pray that you ask him to come and live in your heart and life today. He wants to be you to connect with him. That's his desire. As a child of God, would you renew your commitment to him? Would you tell him how much you appreciate what he's done for you already when he saved you and made you his child? Would you offer yourself afresh and say, Lord, thank you so much for being my father. I want to do what you want me to do. Help me be an obedient father. Help me to hear you. Help me to carry out your direction. Help me to fulfill your purpose. If I yield to you. Now, the Spirit of the Lord may direct some specific actions about yielding to him, renewing your relationship with him, maybe following in baptism, maybe some other decisions. In a moment, out of grace of God, because of the love of God, I'm going to ask you to say yes to Jesus in your heart. And then when we sing, to come and share that decision with either Pastor Ryan or me. and in with a group. Heavenly Father, thank you that you're here today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for that wonderful gift of your Son. Grant that today we'll hear you afresh. Oh, Lord, open our hearts, open my mind and heart and everyone who's in this room today to hear you and then to follow through what we understand you're saying about how we're to live out of what you brought to our attention. Help us to be good representatives of Jesus wherever we go. Have your way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We sing. If God's speaking to your heart about a decision, would you come and share that? Pastor Ryan, I'll be glad to talk to you. I'll be glad to share with you, pray with you, whatever. Let's sing.